If you've got a home mortgage, you might be thinking, well, interest rates are pretty good, but you might be in for a surprise. So might your butcher if he borrowed a lot of money to put in a great big new fridge. Or your local car salesperson who might have borrowed money to build a great big new showroom. Interest rates are important to families and to businesses at historically low levels, unbelievably low. Good time to borrow money if you can get a fixed rate. But that's not going to stay. Good things never do. Joining us now to discuss just that issue is John Edwards. He's a non-resident fellow at the Lowy Institute, and he is what I call full bottle on interest rates. John, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you, Amanda.
It's not going to last, is it?
No, it won't last if the economy improves in the way the Reserve Bank thinks it will, forecasts it will. It won't last. The interest rate,
should say to everybody, get ready.
I think so. It should mean that we need to recognise that if the economy improves, as Treasury says it will, and as the Reserve Bank says it will, then interest rates will go up, and compared to where they are now, quite a lot.
Well, output's been increasing around the world, hasn't it?
The world economy is looking a lot better and more consistently better than it has since the global financial crisis. And the RBA has called attention to this. World trade seems to be improving. It has been very sluggish for a long while. And world industrial production seems to be improving. And not only that, the RBA at least discerns that underlying global inflation also seems to be firming a little bit.
Well, when you look just at the output figures, I understand that in the United States and Euro and the UK, it's around 2%. Well, that's okay, that's all right. But China's output expanded by 6.9% over the same period. And that's phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it's not phenomenal for China, but it's a lot better than many people
Other
have
places.
Expected. And I would say 2% for the UK or the US is not all that flash. It's not hectic. But on the other hand, it's consistent, and it's allowed the US in particular to start raising rates.
Mm. Now, what does it mean when we say that since interest rates might be rising, the bank might be considering other things, including a widening gap between what its policy rate is and Australian market rates? What's a plain English way of explaining that?
Oh, well, I think that it's just to say that the RBA would be worried if it leaves its policy rate, which is an overnight rate for banks at where it is, which is 1.5%. It'd be worried if it left it there at 1.5% and it found that market rates, market rates for three-month money or six-month money, were running away. They're not, as it happens. But then that's not the only consideration that the RBA will have to make in terms of its decisions about interest rates over the next couple of years.
What about the rate on Australian government bonds? How does that play into this?
Well, it's been going up. Quite a bit, mainly because the US bonds have been going up. It's probably got further to go. We're talking about 10-year rates, and they have a rather loose relationship with the policy rate that the RBA controls. But that also is something that the RBA would be watching. It wouldn't want the spread between short rates and long rates to widen a lot. At the moment, it hasn't.
And what about the spread between ourselves and on our Australian market rates and those in the United States? What's been happening there?
Yes, well, typically we're in 10-year bonds, we're quite a long way over the US, and that's narrowed quite a lot compared to our history over the last 20 years. It's narrowed quite a lot. But then even there, I think that the RBA wouldn't be too bothered by that. I think it's more an issue of what is an appropriate RBA policy rate for an economy that's actually functioning well. And the RBA says in 2 years' time it will be functioning well. We'll be growing at 3% output. We'll have inflation of 2.5%. And we'll have wages growing, 3.5%. In a way, you might say we will return to normal. And the question then arises, well, if we've returned to normal, what's a normal interest rate? Well, it's not 1.5% from the Reserve Bank's point of view. It's probably not as high as it used to be, which was, 4.755. But my point is this, Amanda, even if it's 3.5, that's 2 percentage points higher than we are today. On the bank's forecasts, we achieve normality in our economic performance in 2 years. I would think they'd want to get something approaching a normal policy interest rate also in 2 years. And if that is 3.5, that means we've got, let's say, 8 25 basis point, quarter percentage point increases over the next 2 years.
I'm talking with John Edwards, a non-resident fellow at the Lowy Institute, about interest rates. And I don't think it's the question of when they'll go up, it's the inevitability of them going up. Now, John, you mentioned that the Reserve Bank expects us to be cooking with gas, if you want to put it that way, within a couple of years, and that our interest rate will have to get to an equivalent point in that time, and therefore we will need to have some interest rate rises over the next 2 years to be in sync, if you like.
Mm.
Now, this has happened before, hasn't it, where there's been what some people have regarded as a pretty harsh adjustment because it's been constant, one rise, then another, then another, then another. There's history of this sort of thing happening, isn't there?
Oh, yes, and even in our recent history, we've had several episodes. Since 2000, we've had several episodes of policy tightening where the bank has raised its policy interest rate by as much or more than I think it will probably contemplate doing over the next 2 years. It's not at all unusual. It often strikes us at the beginning as being, one-off, but in fact, when you look back, it's a pattern of increases that bring the rate back to or up to where the bank thinks appropriate.
Now, what you say there is perfectly logical. We're going to be at a certain point in about 2 or 3 years. That's the RBA prediction. And so the RBA is presumably looking at getting its interest rate, policy rate there at the appropriate level at that time. And that will mean a number of changes on the way. But what does that mean for the economy in terms of getting there? I mean, is that when you increase the interest rate, are you necessarily putting a bit of a drain on the economy?
Well, I think you are. You're going to put a bit of a drain, a bit of a crimp on...
A lever, yes, a pull backwards.
Yeah. On household spending, for example, because households are quite heavily indebted and they've usually got mortgages that are priced off short-term rates, and those are going to be going up. For example, if the mortgage rate today is 5%, then on that kind of scenario, at the end of 2.5 years, say, at the end of 2019, it might be 7%. Well, that's going to crimp the rate of growth of household consumption. It might, I don't think it's big enough, but it might put a question mark over some very marginal investment decisions. That's the kind of impact it'll have. But of course, the Reserve Bank won't be doing it if the economy is not performing.
So, John, would you be advising youngish couples that if they've got a short-term rate, to whiz in now and see if they can get an extension on that?
Well, it's a tough one for young people with big mortgages. There's a risk that what I'm predicting won't happen. There's a risk it won't happen because the economy won't actually grow. According to the RBA forecasts, and inflation won't go up according to the RBA forecasts. So we may have lower rates for longer. But if young people with big mortgages are concerned that short-term rates will go up, which I think is more probable than not, then they do have the option of looking at fixing part of their mortgage. That's seeing what the 3 to 5 year rates are. They probably don't want to fix it all because they might want to have the option of paying some of it back sooner, but it might well be a good idea to look at fixing part of it.
Excellent. John Edwards, non-resident fellow at the Lowy Institute, former Reserve Bank Board Governor, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Amanda.